If the Midnight Movie Cowboys are truly from all corners of the globe, why are none of the hosts from Mozambique? If the Midnight Movie Cowboys are truly informative, why have none of their listeners ever reported learning anything? If the Midnight Movie Cowboys are truly controversial, why is nobody ever offended? The only thing unpredictable about the Midnight Movie Cowboys is whether or not Stuart will bother appearing on the show. This has been Paul Joseph Watson for the Midnight Movie Cowboys. There's a war on for your mind.
From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Very impromptu edition. Joining me back again is Stuart. Say hello, Stu, down in Australia, down under.
My movie got hijacked. Thanks.
Yeah, Stuart's movie's been censored. Yep. And in the Rocky Mountain High of Colorado, we've got Mr. John Grace.
Howdy.
And joining us is show favorite, Mr. Garo Nagosian.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah. So, Garo, this week we're not talking about a movie. We were going to do a movie, but bumping it out to next week. You came to us on Facebook and you were saying that Amazon Prime is banning or censoring movies and that they're doing this purge, and it was like Stalin, and like they're sending filmmakers to the gulags and making them break rocks, and Alexander Solzhenitsyn is writing a book about it. So I was wondering, what's going on? Tell me what's happening with independent filmmaking in Amazon Prime, because it hasn't hardly been covered in the press. I haven't seen any articles about it. John says he's seen one, but appraise us and the listeners of what's going on, because I don't know anything about this, and neither does Stu.
Okay, it was probably, I think, last Wednesday, I get a text from Rich, my friend who directed Actors Apocalypse, and we worked on Dangerous People together. And he's like, hey, have you heard what's going on with Amazon Prime? I'm like, I text him back, I have no idea what's going on. And he's like, Sean contacted me, who's another director, that he got a letter from Amazon saying that they were going to take down a couple of his movies that were on Amazon for violence and nudity. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. I don't know anything about it. Let me go and contact my distributor. So I email my distributor and I'm like, is this true? And my distributor is like, yes, it is true. And I'm like, shit, because, you know, one of the things that is going to happen with Dangerous People is my distributor puts it up on Amazon Prime, and Amazon Prime pays you, even though it's free for people to watch, you get paid every single time someone watches it.
What's the payment like for that?
I have no effing idea, but you get paid. So there's money in it. I don't know what the payout is, but I was trying to get a filmmaker on here whose movies are up there that were getting taken off, but he doesn't know how to use Skype. So he would have been able to answer that question better than I could. Unfortunately, he's not here.
I can run a 24 frames per second camera, but I can't run Skype.
So he's not here to explain all of that.
He's too busy crying but his fucking beer.
But if you reach the top 50 streaming movies, those 50 movies share $1 million. So you end up getting like an extra $20,000. So it's good. It's good to put your movie up on Prime. And what Prime has become is almost like theatrical for indies in a way, because you can't really get into theaters anymore. So it's a good way to make some money before your movie comes out on Blu-ray and DVD for people to buy. And that's the way my distributor's been going, is by putting stuff on Prime first and then about 3 to 4 months later releasing it on DVD and Blu-ray. So, you know, hearing about this, it's upsetting to me because, you know, Dangerous People is a kind of a hard-edged movie.
Just a bit.
So it's like, okay, there's a good chance that Dangerous People is going to be rejected when it gets submitted. So I actually had to go in because I had two. My distributor has two versions of the movie. One's the version, the regular version, which you guys have seen and that we did the commentary track on. And then I created an R-rated version, which is the same exact running time as the unrated version. The only thing that's different is any below-the-waist nudity is either blurred out or cropped out. Mm. But it's pretty much the same movie. So if that gets accepted to Amazon Prime, I'm fine. You know, it's because it's still the whole movie is there.
Yeah, but you're still compromising, and you still had to go back and work on it to appease Amazon, which you didn't have to
you
do.
Know,
you know, if this censorship wasn't in place, you wouldn't have had to do it, right?
Well, my distributor wanted an R-rated cut with all the below-waist nudity
what,
done.
Is it going to be like kind of fucking, you know, like airline feature or something? Is it?
No.
I'm not being facetious. I'm genuinely asking why would be an alternate cut needed?
Well, they originally wanted it for video on demand. Because I guess there's some rules in video on demand. I don't know. But they said they needed one with all the below-the-waist nudity blurred or cropped out for video on demand. So that's why I created that version, was for video on demand. And the unrated version, we always thought we would have no problem getting on Amazon Prime. But now that they changed their... what they're doing with it, they're going to submit the R-rated version. But if the R-rated version gets rejected, I had to make another version, which is 11 minutes shorter than the version you guys saw. In fact, whole chunks of the movie I had to cut out because it was be considered what Amazon doesn't want. So it's a very... It's a little more choppy now, the movie, and one character's motivations isn't as clear-cut anymore because I had to cut out everything that led to the understanding of that character.
Can I ask you, if you're going to make all these cuts and all this extra effort to get this on Amazon Prime, why don't you just say F you and just go straight to iTunes?
I mean, we're going to be on iTunes.
iTunes have not placed any of these restrictions on you, right?
No, but here's the thing. It's like you want your movie to be able to be seen by the largest amount of people possible. And Netflix, it doesn't deal with indie movies anymore. They did when they first started out. Now they're just like, fuck you, it's all Marvel shows.
Yeah.
That's what we are. We're the Marvel TV station or internet
pretty much.
Station. So they don't really care about movies anymore. Movies are an afterthought to them. Unless it's their original movies. If it's movies that they're funding, then they care about them. If it's like the new Adam Sandler movie they paid like $50 million for, they're like, oh, look, we got a movie. But
as they should.
But anything else, they're just like, fuck that. Amazon Prime was like cool because Amazon Prime was like Netflix before Netflix became popular. Like, it has a lot of indie stuff. It has a lot of kung fu shit. It has a lot of, like, Hong Kong stuff. It's got spaghetti westerns. It's fucking awesome. I mean, it was awesome. But it had, like, if you're a movie fan, Amazon Prime was the place to go. Because you had, John can attest to this, because John is very much into Amazon Prime.
Yeah,
I
should say one thing, that this is really only, that big library is only developed in like the last 3 months. Like it wasn't, it was getting where I was going to cancel it last fall. And then suddenly they just started getting this flood of Eurotrash and Hong Kong and all this other weird stuff that I dig. And they were getting more of the old noirs and the old movies and stuff. And it's just like, then they became like movie fan heaven. Because Netflix, if you like old films, sucks.
But in all honesty, you can find that shit on YouTube, John, you know, and you're not paying for it, you're not getting it censored.
Yeah, you can, and none of it was censored that I've seen. I mean, a lot of it, I think George Tan is uploading most of the Kung Fu films. the independent stuff. Now, the Celestial putting up the Shaw Brothers films, they were putting up really nice prints on Amazon, still are, and a lot of them were English dubbed, where what were extremely scarce English dubs, like suddenly... You know, a lot of titles are showing up with these dubs that are not on Netflix or Hulu. And then the Golden Harvest stuff started popping up because a company called Asian Crush now has the Golden Harvest library and they're uploading rare stuff to things.
I saw a film called Asian Crush once.
Yeah, I know. It does sound raunchy.
Was it uploaded?
The girls are really good looking in it, I must say that much.
Was it Max Ren's studio in Videodrome that put that one up?
I think it was Seymour Butts.
Oh, no, that was Samurai Dreams. Yes,
Samurai. Yeah, that was Samurai Dreams. The dildo in the kimono. Yeah. But, but the I did notice. Swords. Well, somebody else had pointed this out, and it was one of our listeners had pointed out that you could find these every like late at night on their, you know, when you're scrolling through the selections, and only late at night, suddenly Jess Franco stuff would pop up that had hardcore inserts, and I haven't seen this stuff. And someone else had pointed out that there were like fetish videos would pop up late at night if you were scrolling late at night through the selections, but they wouldn't show up in the daytime.
What do you mean by what do you mean by late at night? What do you mean by
like? Let's say it's like after what you would call your dinner hour, where the kids have gone to bed. Like suddenly there were things popping up that you didn't notice before.
On
like
cable?
I noticed there was some.
You told me on cable?
No, on Amazon Prime. There'd be like these Japanese.
Is this stuff available all the time?
Maybe if you search it out, but I, you know, you have the scrolling through, things will be recommended to you or whatever, and suddenly you would notice these more adult titles would pop up.
I think it's probably to avoid kids coming across.
So, does that mean all the Japanese torture stuff would be later on?
I don't know. Because I didn't, it means if that stuff is on there, it's going to be late at night.
So will that channel be Nip at Night?
Oh, God.
We knew it was coming. But no, it's like suddenly later at night, you would see these videos that you didn't notice in the daytime being offered, and then you could put them on your watch list, I guess. Like, there's been a lot of that lately, and I was wondering if maybe this censorship thing was a reaction to that. Like, maybe they got complaints about certain things showing up. You know, but I, having not seen any of this myself, I can't say for sure.
Well, they've been censoring Amazon Prime in India. They were saying they've been censoring since December last year, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
That's New only Year's movies World. With violence against cows.
Yeah, that's some sacred shit.
Yeah.
So I thought, I got sort of a counter argument to this because I'm tired and in a bad mood. My problem is, and this, I'm going to say this predominantly would apply to horror films, correct?
Yeah, it's basically going mostly after independent horror films.
Right. So I'm going to say this to independent horror filmmakers who try to outdo each other with these splatter movies and blood. You know what? Stop being a cockhead. Stop trying to outdo your buddy Tom, who lives four houses down the road, who made a shitty horror movie, by throwing in another 6 gallons of extra blood. Stop being a fucking idiot. I mean, just enough. You know, enough with the gratuitous nudity. You know, I'm sort of being contradicted by saying it. But stop it with all that. I mean, you look like a fucking idiot. So if they censor your movie, fuck you. I don't care. Stick up your fucking butthole. I don't give a fuck.
Okay, now let me
just
do
don't censor dangerous people because Garrow's movie's awesome. Yeah. So don't do that.
Yeah. See, the one thing that was great about Amazon Prime was anyone can put up anything they want on there. So it was kind of like an open market.
They can do the same thing on YouTube, Garrow. That's my whole point. Why are you paying $80-$90 a year to watch something you can watch on friggin' YouTube? Likely watch on YouTube, I'll say.
Well, YouTube, if you put it up on YouTube, you can't put ads on it if it has nudity in it. You can't. They won't do it.
Who the fuck wants ads?
Well, so he's talking about monetizing it.
You've got to make money. If you're making a movie, it costs money. You have to make money back. On Amazon Prime, you can put it up. People can watch it for free, and you still get paid for it. That's what the beauty of it was, is it gave it out to a whole lot of people, and you would still see money from it. And that's what was the beauty of Amazon Prime. That now that they're censoring the stuff, that gets taken away, and that's an avenue of revenue that isn't available to indie filmmakers anymore who deal with stuff that's a little darker than, like Clerks.
Okay, let me put this question forward to you guys then. If my name, if I'm an independent horror filmmaker and I crawl out of my mum's basement to get some cold pizza and a brew, and I'm going to check out my returns that I've made off of Amazon Prime from my film called Satan 666, how much do you really think you're going to make? I mean, seriously.
Okay, I can tell you.
I mean, you're making like maybe $40. You're making nothing.
No. You make more than $40. I mean, my distributor, who's a big distributor, wouldn't be putting it up on Prime first for free if there wasn't money to be made. You know, one of their titles was a movie called Insane. Basically, Insane was like Paranormal Activity with a clown. Basically, that was the movie.
Why is this even a topic if there's a movie called Insane about a movie about a clown? They should be censoring this. I'm actually pro-censorship now for this.
But actually, that movie hit the top 50 streaming. So it made an extra $20,000. Okay? So there is money to be made. And if when dangerous people got on there, don't think I wasn't going to do advertising to get people to fucking watch it on Amazon Prime. My goal was to hit the top 50 and get that fucking $20,000.
Look, I'm all for you making money. I really am. I'm all for it. I'm a capitalist. I'm all for people making money. But you got to be realistic. I'm leaving you out of this because I've seen dangerous people 5 times now. I'm not going to mollycoddle you and say, oh, you know, I'm going to protect Garrett. I'm not doing that. I'm saying people have to have a realistic target of what they're going to make. If they think, you know, if a filmmaker out of his mum's basement who makes a film called Satan 666 really thinks he's going to make thousands of dollars, he's got his head up his ass. He's not going to because the market is so flooded. That's the whole problem. That's my whole point. The market is so flooded.
I don't know if Paranormal
Activity the clown. Well, you know, unless Rob Zombie watches it over and over and repeat, he might make a few bucks. In all honesty, he's not going to make much.
Well, here's the thing. It's like there are movies on Amazon Prime that are fucking god-awful horror movies. Believe me, I look at that as my competition. So I go on there and I try to watch a lot of them and I play a game to see how long I last.
Why would you even consider them as competition? They're shit.
Well, because they're in the same market. They're competing.
We're in the same market, and no one knows about what my movie is. Everyone who looks at my movie thinks it's going to be like some fucking horror movie. Then they watch and they're like, oh, okay, now it's a way different movie. But to anyone just scrolling through Amazon Prime, I'm on the same level as these other movies, no matter how shitty they are. Until the person watches it, then it gets elevated, and that's the problem.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you actually make money once the film has been completed or as soon as they hit the play button?
I don't know.
What classes as a view?
I don't know.
Wondered that myself, yeah.
I don't know what the payout is on how it works because I was hoping I would have that filmmaker on tonight and he would explain it, but he doesn't know how to use fucking Skype, so he's not here.
Well, hey, it's a new program. It's only been out like fucking 10 years or whatever it is, so give him time.
Yeah.
He's still reheating the cold pizza his mother gave him.
But the thing is like, it seems to be a substantial amount of money that you can make from it to the point where it's really upsetting a lot of filmmakers. It seemed to have been a good revenue source. Like, I talked to a guy who had just a short film up on Amazon Prime, and he said he had it up for a month, and just for a short that no one knew, and you really had to search on Amazon Prime to even find, he had, like, a check for, like, in the first month for, like, $40, you know?
So exactly my point, $40. That's all he made.
But you got to understand, that's just a short. No, he's not advertising that he just put up there. It's really fucking hard to find. And he's making $40. Now, if you have someone that has like a movie and it has a little bit of promotion behind it, that $40 can become like maybe $4,000, you know, or $40,000 or something like that, depending on how many people you get.
Garrett, I'm all for people making money. I told you, I'm a capitalist. I'm all for it. But I'm talking from a realistic standpoint with an oversaturated market. That's the only thing I'm saying here is an oversaturated market. And I honestly feel some films do need to be censored. Yeah, I'm contradicting myself by saying, oh, yeah, I'm more for free speech. I am, more than anything. But there's a line that needs to be drawn. Milo learnt that the other week, okay? There's things you just, common sense tells you don't say. Common sense tells you as well, some things you just don't put in there, you know? There's no need. If you're doing it for shock, well, fuck you. You get what you get.
Well, here's the thing. I don't have a problem with what you're saying, but I feel that they're like, okay, one of the movies that this guy made that's getting taken down, I've seen the movie. It's not a very good movie, but it's not really anything outside you would see out of like an 80 slasher film, like an R-rated 80 slasher film.
Maybe the film's getting taken down because it's shit.
Well, basically, the letter didn't say, "Dear so-and-so, we're taking down your movie because it's garbage." It said, "We're taking it down because of nudity and violence." And the nudity in the movie is, like, one full frontal scene and one topless scene. And if they're taking it down for a full frontal scene and a topless scene, I'm fucked.
If they're taking it down for that, I don't agree with that at all.
I think it's like they're targeting very independent yes, stuff. They're not targeting like major studio stuff, yeah, which I've often said. I'm way more offended by major studio films that try to put forth an idea America's a terrible place to live in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like an Oliver Stone movie, than anything I see in a slasher
film. Oh, absolutely.
All right,
yeah,
look, if you guys can actually check up for me now, here's a good barometer of a film that absolutely should be censored and is banned in this country, and I'm glad that it is. And I'm not against I am against some films being banned, so I'll just shut my trap there. I want you guys, if any of you have Amazon Prime in front of you now or within your reach, to check if a Serbian film is on.
Oh, fuck
stream.
That.
No,
yeah.
It's not on there.
No,
okay,
on.
Well, yeah, that's, okay, because I was going to say, if that's on there, then they are full of shit. But again, that's an independent film. And
And I have a theory why this is all going down, okay? They, like I said earlier, they put up that thing where the top 50 streaming titles share $1 million. And what they want to do is to get a lot of – they did that because they want to get a lot of content up there from, like, you know, independent film producers who, like, get, like, a B-level star. It's like, ooh, we got Gary Busey in the movie for 5 minutes, and now we have our – we're going to put that movie up there. You know, shit like that.
That should be banned straight away.
Well, listen, if it's got Gary Busey in it for 5 minutes, it's probably a Charles Band production, and that's automatically, like, suspect.
Yeah. But that's what they want. They want kind of like those kind of, like, mid-level indie movies for them to put it up there and all that. The problem is, like, a bunch of real independent filmmakers put their movies up, and I think those movies are doing better than the movies they want to give the money to.
Well, Hollywood's trying to recoup some money it's losing at the box office, so it's squeezing out the independent filmmakers to give the money back to the studios.
Oh, they definitely want to give the money to, like, more established filmmakers. They don't want to give it to, like, you know, the guy who made fucking, you know, Paranormal Activity with a Clown. They had to give him fucking $50,000 because it hit the top 50. They're like, they're like, and the thing is, you watch the movie, there's nothing in it. They have to leave that movie up because there's no gore, no nudity in the movie, so they can't take it down. But a lot of the other movies on there have, like, a lot of gore and a lot of nudity, and I mean, even movies with just, like, a minimal amount of gore and a minimal amount of nudity are being taken down, because I think they're more, those movies are end up being more popular than the more mainstream stuff that they have up there, and that's kind of, you know, fucking up their whole business plan.
Degenerate. Well, sorry.
Yeah, I would say that, like, nudity is probably the big advantage these independent guys have over any mainstream studio finance stuff, because nudity is, like, a no-no in all films these days coming out of Hollywood.
No, I wouldn't say. I haven't seen one for Lord knows how long. From a modern,
yeah, I mean, when's the last time you saw, like, a high-profile nude scene in a film like you would in the 70s?
Yeah, and
when was the last time
I
watched her latest release?
Yeah.
Except for 31.
Well, and if it is, it's like, it's a movie like 30 Shades Darker, which is, like, unknowns, but, you know
it's funny.
It's made for the female audience.
It's
though.
Made, yeah, it's yeah. made for the...
And the Chinese movie. As well.
You know, it's weird. My one black friend thought 30 Shades Darker was a documentary about Wesley Snipes.
Well, I think that's that's not unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Praise Amon Ra.
Praise ramen noodles.
But yeah, that's like the only movie that has, like, nudity in it, in mainstream. It's, like, very rare that you see a mainstream movie with nudity nowadays, unless it's like you said, like those 50 Shades.
Well, or it's got to be something super out there, like King Cobra or...
You mean the James Franco gay porno movie?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Which Bret Easton Ellis compared favorably to Moonlight. He was like, this movie represents the gay aesthetic better than Moonlight, which is made for a straight, virtue-signaling white liberal audience. Excuse me, a white liberal audience. Moonlight.
I had no interest in seeing Moonlight. I think I saw two movies that were nominated for...
Yeah, I saw Hacksaw Ridge, and that was it.
I saw Hacksaw Ridge and Hell or High Water. Those were the two I saw.
I've seen none of them. I'm waiting to watch Hacksaw Ridge. It's out next week, I think, on home
Hacksaw
video.
Ridge is amazing. Best movie.
I don't pay full price for movies. I still don't, but I'll wait till Hacksaw Ridge hits like $20. Then I'll pick up the Blu-ray on a blind buy and strictly word of mouth as well.
It's wonderful.
It's got left-wing poster boy Andrew Garfield in it. But
you know, and it's funny because Andrew Garfield's a guy I hated like with every fiber of my being a year ago. And then this year he's in two of the best movies that actually like tackle real – like okay, like Hacksaw Ridge – you have a good, like, chaste courtship. You've got a very traditional values. And then you have Silence, which deals with, like, really intense theological issues that, like, and I think that's one reason it went over everyone's head and didn't get any awards is because it's so secular that people can't really relate to it. But I was like, whoa, like, Andrew Garfield's in two movies that are actually really appeal to a right of center audience this year.
Yeah. I actually liked Silence. I liked it better than I thought I was going to. I thought I was going to be struggling to stay awake for the entire movie, but I actually was, awake the whole time, and I liked it.
I loved it, yeah. I thought it's Shinya Tsukamoto giving a very powerful performance.
I struggle to sleep through to stay awake through movies. Doesn't matter what they are. I always fall asleep in the theater.
There were two movies I saw like weeks before Silence that I was struggling to stay awake during, which was Arrival and Assassin's Creed. Like I could not fall asleep.
Yeah, I heard Assassin's Creed was really boring.
Yeah,
and like just kind of like the games that can be pretty boring too.
They're boring as shit. Those
like you just wander around and was it the Yahtzee Croshaw called it Faffing About Creed because he goes, but that's not a very marketable name now, is it?
Yeah, I those two movies I really struggle to stay awake, and then I'm like, oh great, almost 3-hour movie about religion. Ooh boy, this is going to be hard to get through. And then I went and saw it, and I'm like, oh no, this is I'm awake for the whole thing. I'm invested. I'm good.
You're woke.
So
you were
I'm woke
the whole time.
I was woke.
What was it? I think John and I were talking about how one reason people may not have reacted well to that movie is that it shows Buddhists as horrible persecutors.
They do. They beat their fucking constituents with sticks and all sorts of shit. And
you actually see Buddhist priests hiss at Andrew Garfield in the movie.
Like, I actually looked at the Buddhists as like the good people in the movie. I'm like, that's how they kept Islam out of Japan.
That's how they kept all religion out of there.
Yep.
You know, I went to see it with my dad, and he goes, look, Marty, you didn't have to give the world the playbook as to how to stop Christianity.
Honestly, I think really like the people, those Buddhists in Japan should be running America right now. I mean, they'd be right up there with Trump keeping those Islamics out of America.
That would be the greatest action movie of all time if there was like the Dalai Lama and Donald Trump together as a buddy cop team up, like a lethal weapon.
Did you hear about these these protests? Like the Dalai Lama is being treated like Milo Yiannopoulos at campuses because of Chinese students.
Oh,
and
weird.
Yeah, and they're protesting Dalai Lama appearances, but Chinese embassies are espionage centers, and they spy on all the Chinese nationals who are students in America. And I think if they are not protesting, they're going to get in trouble. You know, like, because they're all being watched. Like, they all have secret police watching them on campuses.
Well, what's funny?
Didn't they steal, like, 23 million identities of Chinese a few years ago?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's
mine.
Yours?
Yes, I was part of that hack.
Fuck.
They hacked the VA employment records.
I know. The only person I know of who got hacked was Laura Ingraham. That was I didn't know you got hacked.
Yeah, the social. They have my social security number. They have all my info.
Jesus.
What they can do with it? You can't call a Chinese guy John Grace. So I don't know what they're going to do with all this.
Well, no. I was trying to spin it, but no, I can't think of a way to do that. No.
Well, China and Tibet hate each other so much. That's one that went into like Doctor Strange, like the character that Tilda Swinton was supposed to play is supposed to be Tibetan, but they couldn't cast a Tibetan actor in it because then the movie wouldn't be able to be released in China.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was thinking, oh, the movie's racist. It's like, no, they wanted to play in China. That's why they hired Tilda Swinton.
It was totally a kiss up to Beijing. That's all that was.
Like, I went to go see that the new XXX movie, And all the trailers and commercials were making it look like Donnie Yen's the bad guy in the movie. Mm-hmm. And I go see the movie and I go, Donnie Yen's not the bad guy. Because I know they're going to release it in China and you can't have a Chinese guy as the bad guy. So I know right away going into the movie, oh, Donnie Yen's probably going to be one of the good guys in disguise or something. And yeah, that's it. Just by knowing the politics of Hollywood, it ruins movies for me.
Oh no, they want to get in those Chinese theaters.
Oh yeah,
because two theaters over there.
XXX has made like $150 million already in China. It's like a huge fucking hit.
And
well, major flop here. So,
and apparently China's taking over New Zealand. Y'all heard about that?
No,
let them.
Yeah, they've been. I knew Stuart was going to say. Yeah. No, apparently they're buying up all the property there.
Yeah, because they couldn't buy it here. We told them to fuck off. That's the truth. Yeah, they tried buying up shit here, and government's like, nah, fuck you.
And apparently they've like bought all the politicians there, and like they're buying up all the agriculture and just sending all the food to China.
There's a massive pushback out of here from One Nation Party. You class as far right. I don't know. Class as a nationalist. Populist party who have just said, nah, fuck off. Get out of here. We don't want you here. We don't want you buying up our land. Our biggest beef exporter, I forgot the name of him, who just export millions and millions of cattle a year. They're like, nah, you're not buying our land. Screw you. So they moved to New Zealand. They took over New Zealand. And the Maori's like, bro, come here, bro. I don't care.
Yeah. And,
we'll just beat our wives and get drunk. You know what I mean, bro?
It's like that movie, Once We're Warriors.
That's a documentary. That's not a damn movie.
Yeah.
Except it's got, directed by a female.
That's all. Yeah, well, female. Well, a guy LARPs is a female.
Yeah.
Female LARPer.
There was a thing where, because I guess Ice Cube and the dude who directed that, Lee Tomahari, because he directed XXX Day of the Union, like, they didn't get along. And when he, like, they found him, like, prostituting himself dressed as a woman. I heard like, I think it was like he was on Conan and Ice Cube was just like making fun of him. You're dressing up a woman. Like shit you couldn't get away with now because all the liberals would be pissed off. But, you're making fun of a transgender man. But he was like really going after him on, I think it was Conan.
Yeah, you couldn't release Ice Cube's music now.
If you release No Vaseline, now, they would literally put Ice Cube up for a hate crime.
Yeah, be done.
That's why Obama commutated Chelsea Manning or Bradley Manning. He's like, you get out and you come suck this old big black dick.
Gosh.
January 21, I'm ready for you, bitch.
He doesn't like the female look. He's all about dudes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was trying to kiss up to the LGBT.
QR the alphabet soup, community. I know.
Yeah, the alphabet soup group.
So anyway, that's my take on this whole Amazon Prime. Don't be such a fucking idiot pouring so much blood and noodling in your movies. You got nothing to worry about.
So Stuart's message is try harder.
Well, the problem.
Try so hard.
You know what I mean. Try harder at making.
Be smarter. I think I'm trying to say.
Be smart. There you go. There you go.
Yeah. The problem I have with it is, I think they're. I understand where you're coming from, Stu, and I know that there's just movies that try to put like a bunch of nudity and a bunch of gore, and they don't even care with the story. It's just almost like horror porno movies.
Yeah,
is the best way to describe them, and I understand that. But it seems like they're going after just any movie that's an independent horror movie that has even just minimal gore and minimal nudity, and that's my problem. You know, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but I think that the problem is they've put the bar too low.
In all honesty, I don't see this lasting either. I see it as a backlash from people saying we're just going to cancel Prime and them saying, right, well, we won't be doing it. I don't see this lasting.
Well, and one thing I would say is like with a marketplace like Prime, I mean, we see this happen all the time with these new platforms. They're very indie friendly for a while. And then once like that market isn't really needed anymore, they start to kind of shut it out a bit, and then they kind of cater to more mainstream interests. I mean, Netflix was that way.
Our first movie, Actress Apocalypse, was on Netflix Insta Streaming for about 5 years.
And then Netflix, like, you know, they changed their model, and I think Prime changing their model is, you know, it's one of those things that's inevitable with like they're gonna be more indie friendly for a while because they want to get all the content they can, and then once they don't need it anymore, they're going to sort of, you know,
until another Blair Witch project rocks up, and then they're like, oh shit, this thing's made $250 million, or what have we done? You know, we've shunned this filmmaker who's gone out and gotten this out distributed somehow, and it's made a truckload of money. I don't see this model lasting at all. I just don't.
I mean, I do think that, like, that, you know, if you get in this group, you get this share of money. I think that's a pretty interesting incentive for filmmakers. But again, when you were talking about the Prime model, I was kind of like, yeah, that's something that doesn't sound like it's going to last, you know.
And then, like, a week later, it goes to shit.
It's just Amazon dangling the carrot being the money, obviously. But there's, in this day and age, there's other ways to get your movie out there, okay? Look, I haven't made one, so Gary, give me 10 seconds, all right? I haven't made a movie, okay. So I don't know, okay? You've been behind the whole act of getting this thing out there. So it's not like it was 10 years ago when there was no iTunes and there was no, basically YouTube was a new website that was up and running, and there's other ways to get your movie out there. And if it's good enough, word will spread, and there'll be platforms you'll have the thing to be able to rent or buy. I'm saying Amazon Prime is not the be-all and end-all of everything. Well, am I being a bit flippant with that, or am I...
You're being a bit flippant because you forget one tiny little thing that can get in the way from getting people to buy your movie or rent it, okay? There's this little thing called piracy, and that hurts us a lot because it's like once someone buys it and they put it up on any type of torrent, it's like, okay, we're just going to do that. We're going to just download it and watch it, and you don't see a penny from it. The thing that was great about Amazon...
If you look at the torrents that people are downloading for films, again, they're not downloading independent horrors. They're downloading the big shit, you know?
The independent horror gets downloaded a decent amount too, enough to where, you know, if someone is like, okay, I want to watch this movie, do I want to pay or do I want to download it for free? You know, it's like they're always going to pick the download for free. The cool thing about Amazon Prime was, oh yeah, go ahead, watch it for free, but you're still going to get money from it. Do you know what I mean?
Again,
it
brings us back to that question we asked earlier, what constitutes a view? Amazon might say, no, it needs to play through to the end before it clocks up as a view. Or is it like YouTube where you hit play, you watch 10 seconds out of this stinks, and that class is a view? I dare say it has to be played. I'm guessing it has to be played through right to the end if they're going to give you money, whereas YouTube does not give you any money for the most part.
Or it could be they pay you per minute or something like that. Like, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I have no idea. But I know that, from what I understand from people who have movies up on Amazon Prime, it's lucrative. It's not like you're getting a $10 check and you're like, woohoo, $10. It's way more lucrative than that, to the point where if you're connected to the independent film scene, this is, to most independent filmmakers who have movies up on Amazon Prime, this is a scary proposition because it seems like it's taking a big chunk of money away from the pie. Is what seems to be happening. So it's not like a tiny bit of money we're talking here.
Yeah, I should add to this is because 10 years ago you could go to Best Buy on like Thursday or whenever they got their new titles, and there was a lot of indie horror in their horror section. It was like three times the size it is now, or actually five times the size, and that's gone. Like Best Buy is now mainstream to the core. They don't carry anything like that. And so I'm sure a lot of indie companies got squeezed out of that action, particularly Media Blasters. You could find Media Blasters product in Best Buy every week.
Oh, yeah. I used to buy Media Blasters stuff all the time.
Nothing like that now. Not immediately went out of business. Some of these other retail stores, it's like, and Best Buy doesn't carry those titles anymore. It's like they need, these guys need the avenues to show this stuff.
Does Best Buy carry stuff by the Asylum still? Because I remember picking up $5 Blu-rays from
Since I've been there, I mean, I go in Best Buy every now and then, and I haven't seen any Asylum stuff there lately.
Mm. Same here, it's like James Bond and anime and mainstream.
That's basically it, yeah.
Best Buy is the most generic mainstream stuff now. It used to be a lot better, but since DVD and Blu-ray sales went down, they've just been lowering the amount of space they give it. I mean, I remember back when I was with Crash Cinema, we convinced them to put together a Kung Fu section at Best Buy's, and Best Buy's actually had a Kung Fu movie section, and they don't have, then that's long gone. They don't have that anymore, yeah. But they used to have just rows and rows and rows of DVDs at Best Buy, and now there's, I think, maybe like four rows for everything at them. You know,
that's about it.
If the name of the store is Best Buy, why don't they carry any good titles?
If they are truly a Best Buy, why don't they have the best products to buy?
If they're truly called Best Buy, then why is everyone buying from Amazon?
Yeah, imagine they're killed by Amazon. Amazon's where you buy everything. Yes.
If Best Buy is truly the greatest retailer, why is everybody buying from online retailers that are not Best Buy?
Yeah, and they didn't want to compete. They didn't want to compete with Amazon online sales and all that stuff. And they kind of fucked over a lot of those independent DVD companies. And I mean, the sales are bad too. Netflix is the original fucker over of all those companies. When you could rent DVDs by mail, you didn't have to invest in some shitty, you know, Jess Franco release that was $18, and then you realize it sucked after you bought it, but you bought it. So
or a Takashi Miike release.
Yeah, Takashi Miike.
Fucking, I remember buying Ezo at Best Buy, and holy shit, never again.
Yeah, and you know, you didn't have to roll the dice on stuff anymore, and that hurt the sales as well, because DVDs were designed as a buyer's market or a
I know when I was with Crash, I mean, we would release, like, even the shittiest Kung Fu movie we released on DVD would move minimally 5,000 units.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, John bought them all.
I do have a lot of Crash titles too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, it was the license to print money in the early 90s. DVD was so fucking lucrative. It was fantastic. But now it's streaming, and now that if they're going to start, you know, putting restrictions on what you can stream, I mean, that's definitely going to hurt indie people.
Yeah, but the thing is as well, Amazon Prime is strictly American based, right? I think the Brits have it as well. It's not like Amazon has a place.
They have their version. It's different.
They do. But it's not like Amazon is in every country. It's only in the US, the UK, Germany, France, Japan, and I think that's Fiji.
Fiji. There's Amazon Fiji. No, I don't know.
But that's still... How can they
stream movies with fucking electricity run on coconuts being banged together? I mean... Yeah.
You'd be surprised. I mean, they furiously bang those coconuts, too.
And why are they so fat?
Because they still sell new Coke in their Coke machines.
Yeah.
It's true. You look it up.
Yeah, so do we. We sell it. We don't have that high fructose corn syrup. What the fuck is that?
Coke 2. That's what it is. New Coke. New Coke is the high fructose corn syrup version they first put out.
No, it's not over here. How's it still all that?
It was a flop. I think in other countries, it's called Coke 2. I think it's called Coke 2 in like Fiji or whatever, Samoa.
Is that Coke 2?
It's
like
known as in Mexico, it's known as Coke Dos. So
that would be great.
It's known as Coke El Chapo.
It's known as Coke Zvi, or excuse me, it's a Coke Muck Fry. And
I do think there's the Coke 2 you can still buy in some of those tropical islands.
What, with the corn syrup?
Yeah. That was, well, you know that about the new Coke fiasco, right?
No.
Were they aware of
it? First of all, I don't drink Coke. I haven't done for about, I'd say, 20 years.
Yeah, you listener, you should not drink Coke either. Soda is garbage.
Shut up.
Right. You shouldn't drink Pepsi either. It's both shit.
Soda is the nectar of the gods, so shut your damn mouth.
The only thing Pepsi ever did good was set fucking Jackson on fire, and that was it.
Actually, Pepsi throwback is awesome.
Yeah, what happened was, in 1985, Coke pulled regular Coke off the market with the cane sugar and then replaced it with something called New Coke, and they had this whole advertising blitz. And the New Coke supposedly had high fructose corn syrup in it because they were starting to switch over to that as a sugar substitute. God. And New Coke was a disaster. People were hoarding cans of old Coke. It was going for like collector's prices, allegedly. And new Coke was such a flop in sales that they basically pulled it and brought back old Coke and called it Coke Classic. And then about 2 years later, you couldn't find new Coke anywhere. And then I think they tried to relaunch it as Coke 2. That didn't work. But apparently it sold very well in places like Fiji or, you know, in these different odd places. So they kept producing it there.
Yeah, because they've never heard of Coke. They've never seen it. It's like, fizzy drink. Tastes good.
Right.
Shit. Sorry to our Fiji listeners.
Well, I guess we lost our zero Fiji listeners. But
can you play an iPod with a coconut?
But it is famous in history as a brand, a stupid decision by a corporation, and like a major misstep. It's very famous. It's far more famous than like Atari making an E.T., the extraterrestrial game,
desert. I'm surprised you know about that, John.
Because I watched a documentary on Netflix.
They buried the E.T. game in the fucking desert. And
have you guys ever seen
the landfill?
The Angry Video Game Nerds movie where he goes to find the landfill for E.T. Find the worst game.
No, because I don't deal with YouTubers.
That movie's actually pretty funny. I liked it.
I just remember as a kid trying to play that game, and it just being the most frustrating experience ever. It was just, I was like, why am I playing this? This is the worst game ever.
Skinny body with his huge head, which was rebranded over here as Tori Spelling.
Do y'all know the story about, like, because it was one of those things where an executive at Atari just struck this deal with Spielberg's company. They paid him millions of dollars to put out this E.T. game by Christmas, and this programmer had 2 weeks to make it.
Oh, that's fucking bullshit. Two weeks.
And then I think it was 2 weeks. I could be wrong. I need to look at the book I read this in. But it was some unrealistic time frame. And so, of course, when the game flopped, the executive who made the deal blamed the programmers. All right, so do we have any more thoughts on this Amazon thing? I mean, me personally, I think it's probably – I think, you know, there's plenty of good independent filmmakers like Garrow that this is bad for. Obviously, there's a lot of terrible product and it's oversaturated and blah, blah, blah. But I think Cream, like Dangerous People, could rise to the top and make a pretty chunk of change for Garrow, you know, put some money in that bank account. So, I mean, I think it's – I don't think it's good for – people in Garrow's position, but I think it's inevitable that these models change in a way that's unfavorable to independent filmmakers. But my hope is that other, you know, the market, it seems like these places in the market inevitably open up, like there's going to be another platform that caters to it, and then they'll get too big and shut them out, and then another one opens up or something, you know.
Shut it down.
Yeah, shut it down. So, anyway, any other thoughts, people?
Well, I haven't got Amazon Prime personally, so it doesn't affect me at all.
Yeah, Stuart doesn't care.
Pretty much in a nutshell, I just don't care.
Yeah, and Stuart wants to see bad horror filmmakers suffer, so.
I will say this.
Which is understandable.
Well, when your name is Lucifer von Bloodfeast, I mean...
It's I always know a horror movie's terrible when the filmmaker has some fucking cute name, like this film's by the Butcher Brothers.
Blue Cipher.
Believe me, we get those links all the goddamn time.
Yeah. Like, we brought that up in our interview with Christian.
yeah, that's right. I heard that the other day, which is very good. Yeah, it was just wish it went a little bit longer. But, yeah.
Let's go ahead and plug that. There's an interview with us, if you haven't heard it. We posted it in the Facebook group, so you can go there and check it out.
You and John. Yeah,
there's two
smart ones. You don't need me rambling on. And
there's an interview
Christian
with
booted off iTunes. He doesn't need that.
Yeah, there's an interview with John and I over at Hollywood in Toto, and that's Toto like the band, T-O-T-O, hollywoodintoto.com. And if you look up Hollywood in Toto, Midnight Movie Cowboys, you'll find us on his podcast. We're being interviewed. I thought it was going to be – it's funny. I was kind of pissed at myself when I listened to it because my Blue Snowball was not picking up. And so anytime I got up to let Jackie out, the you could hear me walking and stuff. And,
yeah, yeah, you know, no, the, yeah.
That mic is – my laptop mic is way more sensitive than the Blue Snowball, so didn't really work out.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, but so
it's all your
apologies,
fault, Jackie.
It is
overblown sized doggy.
It's my fault, but also I didn't take the recording that seriously because I thought it was probably going to be an article or something. But it turned out to be a podcast. But that's fine. You know, we share other people on that platform have been people like Nick DiPaolo. So
exactly.
So you know, it's kind of cool to be to share like a company on a podcast with like heavyweights. You know, so. Go check that out. I'm going to put that plug in right here. So HollywoodInToto.com and go look for Midnight Movie Cowboys. You can hear John and I chat on there.
If you're a triggered left winger, don't go there because Christian does say he is a conservative. He makes no
bones about it. Oh, yeah. It's pretty front and center. Like, it's like tired of the liberal media. You know, when you get up. So
it's funny how you say, oh, but if you're a triggered liberal, like a triggered liberal would have gotten this far into this podcast and then be like, no. Oh, no, I can't go to the other podcast. Way too conservative.
Listeners, they're just not the triggered type, you know.
Well, I remember a triggered liberal did review us as our Cannonball Run 2 show as big, if you make it that far. So they listened to the whole show.
Of course they did. He just put out a random number of 20 whatever minutes it was and said, oh, if you can make it that far, which...
And guys, let's be honest. He's probably listening right now, too.
He probably is. I found
another article about the defunct podcast I did with Jim Dirks on his site. I didn't read it, but he did a review of that show, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it has a picture of me.
Hunter, you got a stalker, Hunter.
I know. I kind of felt violated a little bit, but
he's probably listening right now with his pants around his ankles, fucking jacking it to your voice.
I was a little shocked. I found that in a search, and I was like, there's a pic." Again, it's this guy's site, and it has a picture of me on there, and he's reviewing the old podcast. So it's obviously an ancient article, but well,
what's the guy's first name?
I don't even want to. It's Bill. Let's
okay. Give him a thrill now. Go, come on, Bill. Come for me. Go ahead. Say that.
No, God.
Say it.
No.
Say it. Give him a thrill.
Stalker.
give him a thrill. Give him a thrill.
All right, Bill.
Do sexy shit.
All right, Bill. Give me a thrill. We know you're jacking off right now, Bill.
Okay. Oh, Jesus.
Tell him to stroke
your
hard.
Your hands are all semen-covered hands, Bill.
No.
Tell him to open up the baby oil and let it all pour all over it.
Stop it. Yeah. Oh, God.
Most offensive show ever.
Oh,
come on, Bill. Mm.
It's the cruising of Midnight Movie Cowboys.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. This just got really weird. Okay.
Hunter's podcast sex line.
Oh,
Mr. Arrow Shelf bringing in the fans. Yeah.
Bill, do you like my big pointy arrow?
Okay. Damn it.
Look at that nice fine sharp tip on the end, Bill.
Bill, rub your dong on my hacksaw ridge.
I feel like Tom Atkins at the end of Halloween 3.
Yeah,
Stop it!
I watched that again on Blu-ray the other night. Man, that film's still good.
Yep.
Actually, all the jokes you were making about Bill right there, I was doing to Stacey Nelken.
Well, it's good that you have a fan, Hunter. I mean, that's always nice.
Yeah, even if they're dangerous.
But yeah, this is what I got to say about the Amazon. The one thing that's weird is that all the movies were supposed to be taken down today, all the ones that got the warnings or whatever. But all of them are still up on Amazon Prime, and we're recording this on March 1st. So I don't know if Amazon has changed their minds about all this, or because of the outage they had this weekend, it's been delayed. They're just backed up and haven't done it yet. But as of right now, none of the movies have been taken down, but I don't know how long that's going to last.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to last. If it happens, it's not going to last.
And I don't know if Dangerous People is going to ever be up on Amazon Prime. I was hoping it would be, so all the Midnight Movie Cowboys listeners with Amazon Prime could end up watching it before it hits Blu-ray. But we'll see. You know, I'll let you guys know.
In all honesty, most of the listeners would end up buying the Blu-ray anyway. So
because they want the commentary trick. I did a screening in Boston last week, and someone who's a fan of the Midnight Movie Cowboys who listens showed up, and he told me he was really looking forward to the commentary track.
Oh, cool. Ooh. So you got to hang out.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's not like someone we know.
He's on my friends list. Is like Glivzin Bazooks.
Oh, Glivin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, sure, yeah. Sure, yeah.
Which,
okay. Yeah.
Which isn't his real name. He told me his real name, but my memory's terrible. So,
really? Okay.
Well, we don't want to dox him on the show.
No. You know?
Yeah, we don't want to dox him. But yeah, he showed up and he really liked the movie, and he's looking forward to the commentary track when the Blu-ray comes out. But oh, and I should find, and my distributor told me that next month. Actually, I guess now this month, I'm going to know when the release date for the Blu-ray is. So,
So it's not out in March. Okay.
It's not out in March. It's probably not going to be out till summer, I'm guessing. But I should have a release date soon, hopefully.
Okay. Well, as we said, when you know, the listeners will know because you'll tell us, I dare say.
I will, exactly. Now, let's get to the other thing, is that a lot of people have been asking me. They go, Garo, which members of the Midnight Movie Cowboys crew, if you could assign one alt-right character to them,
oh, no.
Which one would it be? And I said, that's a good question, listeners. I said, next time I'm on the show, I am going to say each member of the Midnight Movie Cowboys... Which member of the alt-right they're most like? And I'll start with John. God. And John is, of course, Richard Spencer.
Oh, no. This will be an audio drop.
Yeah. The reason John is most like Richard Spencer is they both have really nice haircuts all the time. Their haircuts are impeccable. Secondly, John also doesn't want to deport people from this country, from other races. He just wants them to leave on their own accord. And I said, John, I go, I don't know about that. I said, I don't know about that. I think that, I don't know if that's racist, but John actually summed it up to me perfectly. He goes, Garo, let me ask you this. He goes, Shaft, that's a good movie, right? I go, yeah, Shaft's a good movie. But he goes, you know what a better movie is? Shaft in Africa.
Well, I think actually, Garo, there's a bit of a succession there because Shaft then had a big score, which got him back to Africa. Which got him deported back to Africa.
But I'll tell you, it made perfect sense, and I'm totally on board with John and Richard Spencer's whole thing. They made a convert out of me. So, yes, John is most like Richard Spencer. And now we'll go to Hunter.
Oh, shit.
And Hunter is Steve Bannon.
I have better hygiene than Steve Bannon.
Yes, but you've both written for Breitbart.
Okay.
And I could see you running Ivanka's campaign in 8 years.
I take that as a very high compliment. Thank you.
Yes. And now we'll go to... Stuart. And Stuart is obviously Milo, because they both have weird accents and love black cock.
Well, that's obviously the most striking similarity.
Mm-hmm. They're both provocateurs.
No, I'm not.
Weird-ass accents. Because really, Australian, British, I mean, you sound alike. You know, there's not really that much difference to them. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Yeah, there's enough similarity.
I would agree. They're really not that different.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, you guys have lived in a bubble all your fucking lives, haven't you? They're so far apart, it's not funny.
Stuart.
They're Commonwealth accents. Okay, we'll call it that.
They both say, you know, they both like to use the word cunt a lot. I mean, I don't really see a difference, you know?
We both say arse.
And then
yeah.
Yeah, you both say arse.
They both like to go, right.
That is true. I can't deny that one. That is very true. That's just a bad try. But then again, see, I've had the thing of having a British father. So I've had his mannerisms and his traits.
And his love of Saxon.
And his love of Saxon, that's correct.
Well, by the way, they're coming to town in like a week. Probably going to go.
Oh, I'm sorry, probably. I didn't hear that word probably.
They're coming with UFO, so yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I think Eddie Trunk. Yeah, Eddie Trunk's going to be
Eddie
there.
Eddie Trunk's going to host it. He's going to jack off like Bill.
Hey, I think that the current lineup of UFOs is really great.
Yeah, right. If Lenny Kravitz says that rock and roll is dead, why is it that Saxon is still going? Clearly, Mr. Kravitz has never heard of Saxon, otherwise the song would never have been written. There's a war on for your mind, Lenny.
Hey, did you guys hear that Alex Jones was actually right about the government turning frogs gay?
I did hear that. Yeah, I saw. Yeah.
What?
He was right. The government is turning frogs gay.
We didn't listen that the chemical turns the frogs gay.
It's funny, I haven't heard his rant about gay frogs, but I had a screenwriter tell me about that. He says about the Alex Jones claiming frogs are gay was his all-time classic rant.
Oh, there was the one he did the other last week. Oh, holy shit, I laughed my ass off. He goes, the ex-British Prime Minister, Tony Blair, and his wife every morning would wake up, have coffee, and invoke Satan. Like, what?
When did he get all religious?
I don't know. He wasn't like this
6 years ago. When did he get all religious?
Maybe he had kids or something. I don't know.
I started listening last week, and I was surprised how much religion. And I thought it was funny that they're just selling supplements now.
Oh,
like they were
hey, John.
The supplements.
Super well, we call
the supplements every day.
Caveman.
We call them bone broth.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell? When did they become like it's a different show.
Stuff. Yeah.
It's a very different show than it was. Like, I mean, 6 years ago, it was all this 9/11 truther bullshit and stuff and fluoride in the water. And now it's like it's something completely different. It's almost like he saw a weakness in guys like Glenn Beck, and he's just decided to mainstream it more. It's still really weird.
He fucking hates Glenn Beck. He ripped him.
Oh, he just finally that Judas.
He hates him.
He's got the devil in him.
Nobody likes him. Fake stream media hate him. I don't like him. Everybody hates Glenn Beck.
He's worshiping Satan with his globalist pals.
Yeah.
Well, I think because Trump actually appeared on InfoWars that
he did.
Did he?
Yeah, it boosted a lot of his ability. Yeah, he actually called in. So,
well,
Trump,
you know, Alex,
in the early days, Trump was calling in to InfoWars and the Savage Nation. He was calling into these kind of more fringy.
He called into Corolla.
Yeah, that's right. He sure did.
Yeah. Jones was saying that he wanted to get Paul Joseph Watson into the press room because. Apparently, they're trying to finagle that because they don't want Alex Jones there or the White House doesn't want Alex there. He's too. But they want Paul Watson there. So that would be pretty cool.
That would
cool.
be great.
Oh, that would be fantastic. That would be the most diverse fucking awesome. press meeting that they have. You know, have InfoWars there and bump CNN. That was. How good was that? I was like. Trump. From what I can see, and just correct me if I'm wrong, he's playing the media over there like a cat with a dead mouse. He's toying with him. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He knows how to troll them. And then if you read Art of the Deal, like, he lays it all out in there. Like, it's his playbook's right there.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, it's you know, in between the chapters about washing your car and stuff, you know.
Wash your car before you sell it.
It's a good deal. But no, it was funny when he called into Corolla. He was like, you know, Adam, I love your show. You know, I think you're doing a great thing. And, you know, I think you're doing a really fantastic job. I'm really proud of you. You know, I think you're doing a really great, really great thing here. I'm very proud of you. Oh, when are we going to start recording? And Adam's like, oh, we're on the air now. like, oh.
Oh, man. If the Hispanics want to create their own football league, would the name of the final be the Taco Bowl?
Oh, can't do that. Yeah. I know who's going to complain about us on iTunes.
Yeah.
Everybody.
if he's still listening.
But oh, he's still listening. We're on constant rotation.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys want to have a laugh, look up all of Obama's broken campaign promises. It's like a list so fucking big. And you go, literally, this guy was the biggest complete fucking fraud ever. And then you look at like Trump and you're like, okay, that's the real deal. Yet all these fucking liberals are still fucking kissing the head of his penis. Like,
they were going ape shit over fucking Kellyanne Conway putting her feet on the couch, which for my opinion, looked fucking hot. They got pictures everywhere of Obama on his feet on the table. Hypocritic double standards, that's all it is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, what is it now? All of a sudden, the press cares about dead Navy SEALs. You know, with that attack, with that Yemen raid, where a Navy SEAL was killed, and now the dad's like the new Cindy Sheehan.
But they just had a picture. They had an article up on Hannity's site showing Democrats sitting down when the everybody was standing for the
when the widow was at the State of the Union address. They sat on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's, and now they're all spinning. They're all spinning like crazy now.
Seriously, from what I can see, okay, I think it's pretty obvious. Trump in 2020 is going to sweep. He's just going to. It'll be all over by fucking 10 o'clock that night. It'll be done.
If the momentum keeps up this way,
if the Democrats do the wrong thing by running Elizabeth Warren, it's going to be over real fast.
Well, they're saying she might even make it in Garrow. They're saying she may not even be there in Massachusetts in 2018. Well, she's only get beaten.
I know.
Is it 2018? You have it or 20?
I'm not sure. But I know Curt Schilling, who's a former Red Sox.
I know who he is.
Is running. Yeah.
He's running as a Republican candidate, isn't he? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, but he's definitely going for her seat. And the good thing is that, you know, basically everyone in Massachusetts is a huge, you know, Red Sox fan, and he did have that. He did was one of the reasons we won that World Series. What was it, 2004? And that was like because we hadn't won in so fucking long. Mm. And so he's kind of a Boston hero. So
he's also loves EverQuest as much as Anthony Cumia does.
So yeah, there's a good chance that he can beat Elizabeth Warren. I know I'm going to vote for him because I fucking hate Elizabeth Warren, that fucking fake Indian cunt.
Yeah, she's about as Cherokee as I am.
Yeah, she's about as Cherokee as an overweight guy with a first name begins with the name L.
Well, let's go ahead and wrap it up.
Before we do, I need to give a big thank you to our friend over in the UK, in Liverpool, Mr. Anthony Nesbitt, for the very generous donation you gave, my friend. Thank you for that.
Yes, thank you, Anthony, for the donation.
Anthony's always been a big supporter of the show, and he just got up. There was no content to give out, which I feel bad about. Sorry, mate. But he's just like, here you go, guys. I want to donate to you. And very, very nice donation. So I thanked him personally, and it doesn't hurt to donate. And honestly, you may think, oh, you guys are just shilling for money. Yeah, you want to go out and spend it on, you know, booze and hookers. No, it honestly, it's all going back into this to buy new equipment and shit. And
it really is going
into that.
So if you want to donate, go to MidnightMovieCowboys.com, hit the PayPal there, and go ahead and donate for us. We appreciate it very much. MidnightMovieCowboys.com. There's a little PayPal link there on the right-hand side of the page. So hit that up. Put in how much you want to give. And pay us.
Help us out. That means in...
You know, I know. Anyway, anything...
Instead of giving the money to those fucking Ethiopian kids, give it to the Midnight Movie Cowboys.
Exactly.
That's right. Don't do that. I mean, who cares? It's
they have plenty of government assistance programs that can go through.
I mean, who wants to give money to a 4-pound kid with a head that weighs 3.5 pounds with flies hanging around its fucking mouth?
Okay.
Give it to us instead.
Tourette's.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's that straight Tourette's.
It's like World Vision just just drop their donation to us.
Right.
Yeah.
So
we need to get those Midnight Movie Cowboy like milk cartons that we can give the kids so they can go around to like their neighborhood and have like and harass people to put money in the milk carton for us.
Yes.
Or you should put our faces on the side of the milk carton saying, "Have you heard us?"
Heard us. Garrow, give us the latest on Dangerous People. I know you've mentioned it earlier in the show, but just give us the latest so we...
Just in case when I said it, it was during a part we had...
It's all a massive blur at the moment.
Yeah,
Dangerous People, I'm supposed to get a release date this month from my distributor, so as soon as I know that, I'll let you guys know. As of now, no more screenings. So it's just waiting and seeing what's going on. I'm writing a new movie that's going to be very interesting for people who like the Midnight Movie. Movie Cowboys. It's definitely a movie that's
it's like that. What's that Obama film that came out? Southside with You? It's gonna be like that about us.
Well, there's another one too that went straight to Netflix called Barry.
Barry.
Yeah.
Bathhouse Barry.
Bathhouse Barry.
Yeah.
Starring James Franco.
Yeah. and Obama in a Batman suit.
Starring James Franco as Bill Ayers.
Yep. Oh, and then,
Donald Sutherland as Alinsky.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's just waiting for you guys to see Dangerous People. We recorded the Midnight Movie Commentary track back in December, mm-hmm. So that's done. Which was a whole ordeal. To record, because we recorded it on separate recording devices, and we had to send all the files to Stu, and then he edited it all together, so it sounds like we're all in the same room.
It does. It's unlike these calls we usually do, where you can tell, we're on Skype, and, which still sound okay, but
the one that I did with Garrow and the actors sounded like it was on Skype, probably.
Yeah, probably. Actually, it doesn't sound bad. Like,
no, it sounds pretty good. Yeah, when I listened back to it, I was like, it sounds pretty good.
No, but the one
it's
did,
not bad.
The yeah, one that we one did bit literally makes dropped
sound,
out.
But. Yeah, we literally sound like we're in the same room together. That's our the art of podcasting.
The art of the podcast.
And if we get enough donations, as Hunter says, we're going to have equipment that will actually make us sound like we are in the same room.
Yeah, we will improve the sound quality exponentially.
Yes. Indeed.
So what we're saying is rob people and send us the money.
Yes, yes.
We're trying to say.
Yes.
Last time me and Garrow were in the same room, we were sitting there watching a black boy in a wheelchair shooting a deer.
Yeah.
So you were watching Mac and Me?
No, it was some black channel thing it was.
It was like BET, and I think you were watching because you were like, oh, I really want to watch BET because I don't get it in Australia. So you wanted to see what black people watch.
John, don't you have an exploitation retrospect or something to show for?
Yeah, latest exploitation retrospect is available on Amazon.com. I believe print on demand.
But they cut out John's parts.
They censored John's parts. Like,
they're going to censor my parts.
Guilt by association, John. That's what it is.
I reviewed kind of artsier fare in this issue, so I get assigned that stuff because nobody else really wants to write about it. But there's a good mixture of different genres and topics, and it's a good issue. It's well worth getting.
Good. All right, everybody.
If the freight wasn't like $3,000 to get from the U.S. to
I shipped like a Shadow Batman movie serial box set to a friend in Canada, and it was something like $9.50 just for basic shipping.
Oh, it cost me $50 to mail a few Blu-rays to.
I know. I'm like, what the hell is this?
It was insane.
Yeah
it's, I think it's,
I won't be doing that again. No offense, but fuck.
I know it's fine. I don't blame you.
You're
I was like, when I
me.
When the guy told me the cheapest price, I was like, Stu's gonna be pissed.
I think when I sent that the Blu-ray, that little Blu-ray I sent to you for the commentary track, I think it was like $15.
I know. I saw the ticket and I thought, what the fuck is going on? It never used to be that much.
And and that was just like a little little case.
That was a little CD jewel case size thing. That's right.
Yeah, and I'm like $15 for this. Jesus fucking Christ!
So much for globalist shipping rates.
Yeah, really, right. So what was it going to cost you to mail me out that Dangerous People actual Blu-ray? It'll probably cost the amount of the budget, like $20,000.
Yeah, it's going to $20,000 to send a Blu-ray to Australia.
If
I'd rather
just give me the fucking plane ticket. I'll come there and pick it myself in Boston.
I think it would be cheaper for me to fly to Australia and bring it to you. So maybe I'll do that.
It might be the case. but we can always go for a holiday up to the Northern Territory for a
just meet at Wateye.
Yeah, we'll meet at Wateye. Yeah, that's our vacation spot.
Well, that's where I live in that chair and shit, like the other guy. If you remember him, old Stuart. Anyway, it doesn't matter. All right.
So with that, I think we're just gonna go ahead and say adios.
Mahalo.
No Magadog?
Eh,
Magadog.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. For more information, go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com. For feedback, comments, or show suggestions, go to midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like what you hear? Head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. Hear us on Stitcher Radio. Head over to Stitcher.com and download the app. Want to help the show out? Head on over to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and hit the PayPal donate. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Find us on Twitter at MMCowboys. Like us on Facebook. Head over to Facebook.com. Type in Midnight Movie Cowboys. Hit the like button over there. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and find the links from there on the right-hand side. Thanks for listening. See you all next week.